one of the advantages of the instant social media is that it's easy to keep up with the news of the day. So every day I get some kind of update about the terrible war in Ukraine and its growing implications for the world. Probably you are also updated like that. Which I think is a good thing to know, because it keeps it on the top of our prayer list. The disadvantage of social media is that we're always updated about other things too. I've received a number of reminders that today is International Women's Day, which I probably wouldn't have noticed, but that's the way it is. So the world, or at least some parts of the world, are celebrating International Women's Day, which is probably, although I don't know too much about it, probably a mixed celebration. There are things that should be celebrated. Heck, almost everyone, are there any men here? Except there's one. Yeah, it's all women. So happy International Women's Day to you. The whole Ottawa community is basically women. So great. And it's important to uphold dignity and rights and celebrate the achievements of women, yes. I don't know how March 8 was chosen for this day, but it's sandwiched between yesterday's Feast of Perpetua and Felicity, two extraordinary women of the early church, and tomorrow, St. Francis of Rome, an extraordinary woman of 15th century, a wife and mother and mystic and foundress. So examples, these yesterday and tomorrow are examples of extraordinary women. But I don't think they're the ones that are being celebrated on International Women's Day. So I say it's a mixed bag, what the world celebrates. Of course, the defense of women's rights and the upholding of women's dignity and the changes of unjust social structures, that should be celebrated and it should continue. But there's a lot of irony in the women's movement, and I know it's risky to talk about these things, but a lot of the so-called progress has been to the disadvantage of women. Certainly the whole contraceptive abortion mentality, which was supposed to be freeing and liberating for women, has been much worse for women than for men, because now the burden is all on women to decide about children. And if they have children, it's all their fault and it's all their problem, because men can say, well, you should have had an abortion, or you should have used contraception. It's your fault if you have a child. And then there's this demand in the world that women be both successful career women and successful mothers and homemakers, which is pretty much impossible. That's not a burden put on men. And now, if I could mention it again, with the rise of the transgender ideology, there are men who claim to be women, and this is threatening even the most fundamental rights of women, right to safety in their restrooms and locker rooms, and women's sports are threatened now, and shelters for battered women are being invaded by men who claim to be women. And, you know, this is really, really Tower of Babel now. In fact, it's impossible to define what a woman even is. What's a woman? It's not allowed to say in the world. So as I say, Tower of Babel, who knows what people are even talking about when they're talking about celebrating International Women's Day. Now, that's all in the world. Let's take a look at the Word, because we're not just walking through darkness here trying to figure out who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. We receive light from God. Thanks be to God. And as things get darker in the world, the light that we receive from God is brighter and brighter, and we should appreciate it more. So here in today's readings, we have the very famous passage from Isaiah about the Word. the divine word coming down and giving life, like life-giving rain. The word will not only does it come to give life, but it's guaranteed to accomplish the end for which God sends it. So we're not, it's not up to us. God has a plan, and it's a very good plan, better than we could come up with. And if we cooperate with that plan, we will experience abundant life, fullness of life. So it's our journey here is not all about demanding or our rights or defending our rights. It's more about recognizing God's will and discovering in that will our own identity and our own fulfillment. This is why, going back to the whole rights question and women's rights, when people fight for rights that God himself wants us to have and has already given us, well, then that's a very good fight and it bears good fruit. But when a popular movement opposes the will of God, it bears bad fruit. We have a way to evaluate. We have divine criteria to evaluate whether a movement is doing something good or bad. In today's gospel, we are taught the Lord's Prayer. This is an absolute gem. Well, we spent months studying this prayer. I think we just finished it in January, that we were following the series of catecheses by Pope Francis, and he had many, many insights to share with us about this beautiful prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And we can't go into those hours and hours of reflections again, but let me just pick out a couple of lines and reflect on how beautiful it is that we are being taught to pray for this. Here's what strikes me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this every single day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know if people in the world realize how countercultural that is, to pray for God's kingdom to come, to pray for God's will to be done, because we spend so much of our time fighting for our own kingdoms and demanding that our own will be done. As soon as we say, thy will be done, we're putting ourselves in second place. God first, God's will first. We're not in a people power movement to overthrow God. And if we were, I guess many people are, then that's a movement that's bound to fail. But when we submit ourselves to God, as we do when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray for his kingdom to come. We become a channel for his kingdom to be established even now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, meaning in my life, in my day, right now, as in heaven. May God reign here and now as he always reigns in heaven. It's a very powerful prayer. Opens a door to divine light, to grace. It opens a door to this word that comes down from heaven with a power to accomplish God's will. So I think this is perhaps enough for us to reflect on, since we live in a world which is now being devastated by war. A world in which there are many voices demanding my will be done, even if it means I change my gender or I change the very definition of marriage or I change some other thing that God has done. In a world in which there's lots of claims for human will, we are called to pray for God's will to be done. And this, the gift of this prayer should carry, it has, is enough to carry us through Lent and through life. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name, not my name, not our name, your name. Thy kingdom come, not Russia or Ukraine or NATO or the Philippines or any other. Your kingdom, Lord, is above all nations and states. Your will be done, not my will or our will or the will of any tyrant or the will of any army or the will of any rich person. Your will, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. And that's how we participate in establishing the kingdom of God on earth.